Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise. From AsthmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, man.
It's the Weedsman Podcast.
I have no idea what's going on.
And now?
You have smoked yourself retarded.
Here are the Weedsmen.
You want to get high?
Number one, 69. I'm Chris.
I'm Rob.
I'm Aaron.
Everybody, chill the fuck out. Smoke this.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, America needs to smoke weed.
Yeah, fuck. I knew. We're recording this the day of the what did they call it? Gathering of white assholes?
Yeah.
What is it?
It pretty much is.
And this idea that white nationalists aren't racist, and then they go to a rally with a bunch of racists. Like, no, you just like hanging out with them.
Hey, man. Yeah,
right.
You want Black Lives Matter protests? We can have these. However,
you don't need to be Nostradamus to predict that there is going to be shit going
down. However, when you incite violence, start hurting other people, well, then I'm not on your side anymore. There goes your peaceful right to assemble, jackasses.
Just smoke some weed. Yeah, that's all I got.
I supported their right to assemble, absolutely. And if anything, it helps point them out and helps break up their bullshit arguments about how they're not a racist organization, whoever it is. Like, you're not racist, but when you get together, you do Nazi salutes.
I guess so. Yeah.
You and tell minorities to get out of your country.
Today, Virginia, not for lovers.
Definitely not for lovers.
Regardless of what the t-shirt says.
Right. That on top of North Korea, and now Venezuela, a president that won't take sides in the legitimate fights.
I'd like to reiterate.
In our own country, and again, is looking for fights in other countries.
He's on vacation.
Yeah.
What's it going to be like when he gets back? He's a week into his vacation.
It's a working vacation, and you know why? Because it's just, he doesn't want to, after being caught calling the White House a dump.
Right.
He doesn't want to then be seen as renovating it. He's taking a vacation now because he wants to renovate the White House. And that's what they're doing. But they're not talking about it like
everything
that
with gold.
Because he got caught saying it was a dump. So he didn't want to say, well, since the White House is a dump, we're going to be spending some time away from it while they fix it up.
Well, it's a big target.
It's a big white target.
Yeah.
Come back, it's painted camouflage.
Or
they show
gold.
Pictures of it. Looks like it's gone. Where'd it go?
It's made out of mirrors.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to change the whole structure of it to confuse the aliens when they land in Independence Day.
It's now the Gold House.
That might happen.
Hey, Bill Pullman's still alive, right?
You're going to put one of those big bulbs, those like Christmas tree bulb ornament things that they put on top of the Russian buildings?
Yeah.
You're going to put one of those on the top
That'll
of it?
That'll save us. That'll be the houses of the future, Aaron. We'll have those bulbs on our houses.
Help us.
Then I'll say,
Kenobi.
I was just doing it as a joke. What?
Your only hope.
I don't know what. What?
It looks good on the Taj Mahal.
Because everybody knows Trump's hilarious.
He's hilarious. Trump.
Yeah,
oh, that's
hilarious.
Donald. Oh, yeah. Putin fires, because he can't fire ambassadors. He bars them from the country. Trump, thinking that those are then fired and that it aligns with the smaller government policy, then thanks Putin for barring them from the country. I'm like, no, asshole. Now you have a bunch of people on the payroll who can't do their job.
You idiot.
What? I was joking. You know?
Brilliant!
These libtards don't get sarcasm.
Come on, buddy.
But no. I'm not going to talk politics anymore.
Nope. It's too much.
Everyone just smoke some weed and chill out.
Chill the fuck out.
Yes. Watch some fucking Netflix, man. It's an endless wealth.
Yeah.
Who doesn't get their $10 worth out of Netflix, honestly? I'm not trying to blow the company, but holy shit. I've been powering through Ozark.
How is that?
Finally, huh?
Oh,
shit's
man.
Good, isn't it?
Is it worth it?
It is really good.
You watch it all in one day.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
We do that a lot.
Damn. See, I can see how you can do that. And this show is interesting in its structure because it kind of relies on people binge-watching it, I believe. Because the first half of the season, I'm all the way up to season 9, so I've yet to watch the finale. I'll do that when I get home. But the first half of the season is, frankly, kind of sketchy, but it all starts to make sense. I think, starts to make sense in the second half, and certainly a lot of the flashback episode, A lot of the flashback episode has all the elements to kind of tie everything together. For example, the FBI agent. For the first half, the FBI agent's story is he's gay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hope that they give the FBI agent something other than he's gay, because that's not much of a story. And then they finally do. And they finally... And while I really enjoyed the aspect of trying to figure out who Marty Bird was in the moment, because they didn't really set you up with a lot of it, even just coming into it cold, I knew it was going to be crime-related because you had described it as kind of a Breaking Bad type, which it loosely is. But I think that while Marty Bird is kind of the nerd Breaking Bad character, I don't see him as the same as Walter White.
It's more gangster than Walter, but Walter White was grittier. That makes sense.
Well, who knows where it's going, because we're judging based on season one, and season one Walter White didn't go. He went farther than you thought he would, but he has yet to let somebody die. Or run somebody over, even. Or plant a bomb, or any of the number of things that he did. And so Walter White turned out to be pretty damn gangster of his own accord. I think that it seems like this character, the story in Breaking Bad was watching somebody break bad, right?
Right.
It was watching a school teacher turn into a murderous drug dealer and manufacturer. And there's not that change. Like, if we see change out of Marty Bird, my prediction is that he's going to be taking over the whole town. He's going to rule Ozark. And eventually, yeah, he's going to probably find himself in situations where he has to make that call. Go kill that guy. He's being a problem. He's going to fuck up our whole business, you know? He's going to probably, it seems to me that they're setting up, he's going to eventually evolve in the same type of character that originally he didn't even want to work with, the drug lord. So, you don't really see that change in Marty in this season. You are revealed parts of it. It's more on the viewer, because you're assuming, based on clean-cut look, really affable guy, totally normal, you're making assumptions based on him. And it's your assumptions that are constantly changing about what this guy is willing to do to, you know, protect his family, provide for them, what have you. But as of yet, death is kind of, while it's in the world...
I want you to think everything you want from me.
I'm just sitting here,
you've not seen the last episode.
Right, so... So there's going to be something there, no doubt. I guess we'll talk next time.
Dude.
To see where that goes.
A bunch of shit happens in the last episode. Like, put it that way.
I can only imagine, because a lot of the things that they seem to lead up to these events that are going to happen, and then they resolve a lot quicker than you think they would, because you're like, oh, this is perfect setup for a big finale where this might happen, you know, or a real attempt on Marty's life is made. And it ends up resolving before the episode's over, and they move on. You're like, okay, so where is this really going?
Yeah. I can't say anymore. Can't say anymore. I want to let you experience it, enjoy it.
Jason Bateman is great in it, certainly. And I don't know, like, is he... He's not really playing a different character than in Arrested Development, you know? But his...
Just darker circumstances.
Yeah, not by much, though. I mean, Arrested Development was a pretty dark-ass show. People were losing limbs and training arms and...
There's always money in the
band stand. Controlling each other and, yeah, setting fires. And it's a pretty twisted show. I don't know.
Showering with their son.
They started filming the new season.
Oh, man. Everybody's involved?
Well, I saw it on David Cross's Twitter. He had a trailer that said Tobias on it.
Nice.
And I imagine it's one of those things where you have to, once you have all those intricate moving parts in your show, how can you do it with, I'm not saying it's impossible to peel off cast members and do something with them that's enjoyable, but if you're going to do Arrested Development, you need all those people.
Yeah, it's an there ensemble not, cast.
We are, we kind of are, we see the story through Michael Bluth's eyes because he is the more sympathetic character, the seemingly normal character out of a family full of crazies. But that
it's Arrested Development.
But there's still no main character. There has to be somebody who kind of brings the normal people into a fucked up situation. But that doesn't mean that Michael Bluth was the main character of that he himself drove the stories.
So that'll be out next year. It's a 2018 release.
I'm guessing Netflix seems to move pretty quick, though.
Maybe we get in like January.
Oh, speaking of Netflix, did you see that David Letterman is going to have a show?
Really? What is it going to be about? Like a talk show or?
Entertainment Weekly says it'll be a 6-episode season that has in-depth conversations with extraordinary people and in-the-field segments expressing his curiosity and humor. So there'll be a majority one long format interview.
I was never a Letterman guy.
Yeah?
As much like
I liked him.
I was never like in the Letterman Leno feud. I was in Leno. I was but then like as I got older, I was like, damn, Leno, like
well, late night TV had a fleeting appeal to me anyway. But when I was doing it, which was mostly in high school actually, I've never been, I usually sleep 6 or 7 hours. I've been like that since high school. Like, actually, if I sleep 8 hours, I'm tired when I get up.
Yeah, Mandy tells me she's like, you rarely sleep.
So I was up late often, and I believe it was a lot of times it was catching David Letterman. At that point, I mean, that would be like, what, 1 o'clock or something? What time would he have to go on?
He's 11. Back in the day?
In the day.
He's 12:30.
12:30, right.
Late show.
And I think MASH was on before that. So I would stay up, watch some MASH, and watch some David Letterman in high school. I was an old man ahead of my time.
Yeah.
I've seen every episode of MASH. Oh, wow. I have not seen every episode of David Letterman, but I saw some good years. And I don't know what it is about him. I can't put my finger on it. I find David Letterman funny, but it's not like you can tell a David Letterman joke.
Yeah.
It's all in just the delivery of normal whatever they're talking about. I don't know. But only six episodes. I'm kind of curious who he's going to have on, because if he has control over this, which I assume would be the case, or else he wouldn't bother doing any TV, I'm curious as to whether he's going to have people that we would usually see on Letterman's show, on his late night shows. So much Netflix.
We're back around to Netflix.
Well, it's just so there's all kinds of shit. We know, of course, Defenders is going to be kick-ass already.
Mm-hmm.
More superhero shit coming from Miller World.
Miller World.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Do you know who Mark Miller is?
No.
Mark Miller is the creator of characters like Kick-Ass and the Bendy Bullet movie.
Wanted?
Yeah. And I know he's had at least one other movie. But he signed a deal with Netflix now. I think it's what they call in the industry a first look deal, which means that whatever he's looking to, any of his commercial properties that he's looking to transform into a movie or a TV series, Netflix would get first crack at it to decide if they wanted to do that project or if they would pass on it. Nemesis, Superior, Jupiter's Legacy, Huck. I mean, I thought Kick-Ass was fun.
Very good.
I thought that the book kind of doesn't really go anywhere except for escalating violence and revenge. But it's a fun story. And it's all, the comic book is illustrated by John Romita Jr., who is undoubtedly one of my favorites. The rest of his stuff, I've read some of it. It tends to be very macho-y, violent, and very action movie oriented. A lot of his projects seem like they are done with the intent to make a movie out of it one day, to prepackage it for movie production. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I think the comic format suffers for it. I think you should just make movies. Castlevania, did you watch any of that?
No.
I couldn't.
What? There's a Castlevania?
There's a Castlevania show on Netflix.
What is it?
It's anime.
Yeah, it's kind of anime style.
That's kind of why I'm not checking it out. Just
I didn't get it. I watched like an episode and a half and I was like, I don't get it.
Who is it? Who does the story revolve around?
The vampire dude and some chick.
Yeah.
Who,
so nobody with the last name Belmont?
I think so. I don't know. I'm not that up on the Castlevania story in general. I just played the fuck out of the games.
Yeah, I played a lot of Nintendo.
Every time there was like what do they call it?
You don't know about Simon Belmont, son?
Those transition screens and shit. Like, people would tell me, oh, that dude in Metroid's actually a chick. And I was like, oh, really?
Yeah, that blew my mind when I was
like,
young.
You beat the game.
Samus is a woman.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. I was just
playing the fucking game.
I didn't play him for the plot.
Right.
You know about the Belmont family and their feud with Dracula?
I was expecting to really like it. Warren Ellis is a writer who I've enjoyed for many years. He was one of the writers that kind of got me back into comic books and was showing that you could do different things with superhero genre books. And then I believe it was Transmetropolitan I was loaned a copy of the first Transmetropolitan collection that he does and kind of fell in love with the types of characters that he writes. Oh. So I don't know. I mean, it just didn't translate to the cartoon, I guess. Maybe I need to give it another shot. I don't know.
How much time?
How much time listening to this?
Yes. How many times have I heard this? This isn't the original, though.
I remember, though.
Oh, that's definitely... I did enjoy it.
Oh, here we go. There we go.
Oh, that's, yeah.
There we go.
Smooth. 8-bitty.
Yeah, this would be NES, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The classic.
I think all I played, though, is 1 and 2. I know there was other games after that.
Yeah. I only played the 1.
Why do you think that this lasted as a thing? I mean, there have been other versions of Castlevania, but they haven't been as persistent as keeping it up as a brand that, like other properties are.
It lost its way once it left the Super Nintendo system.
Right. It lost its way, but it didn't lose any of its appeal with the people who played the original. What makes a Castlevania a game that is exceptional enough to stand
out?
Good
versus evil.
There you go.
It was a simple story that was easy to understand.
Pretty much.
Whoa.
I mean, that has to be it, because really it's just Pitfall. But in Pitfall, the story is, well, you're in the jungle, so scorpions are bad, right? You don't want to touch them. And this was like, you had a mission to destroy evil.
Jam this right here.
Yeah, this is the better song, definitely.
Me and my dad wasted so much time playing this game.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
awesome.
go to bed, kid. Hear him playing it. Be like, oh, last night I got fucking the third rib. Fuck you, Dad. I only got the second rib. Why you gotta beat the game for me?
Right.
See ya.
Older person.
I was way more into the Zelda shit.
He did that too.
Oh, really?
But I beat Zelda before he did.
Oh, nice.
I had to show him how to get to Ganon.
Hey, listen, old man. I'm not gonna show you this again.
Yeah, listen. I'll show you how to burn the tree to get to the fucking level 8.
I'll show you how to burn some tree.
I know, right? That's what level 8 Labyrinth was, right? You had to burn that tree. It was 7 or 8. You had to burn a tree in, like, the middle of the Lost Forest. And then that was the 8th Labyrinth. And once you got there, then you could finally get over to Death Mountain.
Damn, you played that a lot more than me, man.
Fucking Zelda? Goddamn right I did.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I played the fuck out of Zelda. Now you're making me want to hear the Death Mountain music. This man, it was fucking on, dude.
Yeah.
You had to find Ganon.
Head down.
You weren't leaving without that bitch. You were coming back with a princess. That's what this music meant.
I tried playing some of the newer Zelda games, and they just don't do it for me. I heard the Switch one is good. Maybe I'll get one of those eventually. But honestly, I wish I never sold my Nintendo 64. I'd probably play the fuck out of that one.
Oh, right really?
Now. Hey, listen.
Hey, Rob.
Yo.
What drugs are you on?
We are smoking the Bubba Chunk strain.
I'm fucked up, man.
Yeah, me too.
Bubba Chunk.
Bubba Chunk, not Bubba Gump. Do you have anything for it?
I'm just envisioning, like, Bubba Gump, but it's nothing but marijuana strains.
Oh, there you go. I was thinking of a kid from Goonies. Truffle Shuffle.
Bubba Sparks.
All right. Bubba Chunk is cannabis strain and indica dominant hybrid. It's actually an improvement upon Bubba Kush. This marijuana sports a higher THC content, increased duration, and quicker onset. I'll agree with that. Bubba Chunk cannabis is good for evenings and night use due to the sedative effect. Sedative.
Sedative.
Yeah,
I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd say, you know, it gives you a full body relaxation along with...
Aaron, you have to see watch this video.
Cerebral euphoria stimulates appetites and an uplift moods and relieves stress, prompts laziness and couch lock. But this strain is a cross between Bubba Kush and Deep Chunk.
Nice.
So your top five... Do you want people to stop? Are sleepy, relaxed, uplifted, mellow, and this is a first for me, aroused.
Oh.
You can get aroused off this shit.
We all gonna be walking around with boners after the show.
Yeah, we're all gonna have weird boners.
Weird boners.
Weird. Yeah. But the flavors.
Judge my boner.
I'd say earthy, diesel, and lime. I definitely got the lime a little bit.
Oh, I thought you said lion.
Lion.
Yeah, there's a little bit of lion.
A little bit of lion.
A little bit of Cecil.
But yeah, this is good for
ridiculous.
Fatigue, chronic pain, muscle tension, or muscle spasms. This will help you out. So go get it. Bubba Chunk.
Bubba.
Bubba Chunk.
Wait, did we get a lineage on the name? That's all I care about. That's how they come up with the name.
Bubba Kush.
Something.
And
Chunk.
Deep Chunk.
Deep Chunk. This stuff really works. You gotta keep going back. Where'd he get Deep Chunk from?
No idea.
Cross between Chunky and Deep Throat.
It's like QVC.
I need to say stop. I'll give you 5 seconds to pass or stay.
Ugh.
Time's up.
Ugh.
It's like scan on your radio. Like, if you don't do anything, it'll just keep going forward.
You stay.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Bochum Welt. That's B-O-C-H-U-M. And W-E-L-T. It's German. But if you're not thrilled with what it's doing now, it's not going to really do much else.
No.
What we asked for.
Yeah.
There you go. Iggy.
That's what I've heard.
I think this song might be one that I first heard as a cover. Wasn't it Susie and the Banshees, I want to say? I do have this album on vinyl.
Is this a remaster?
It could very well be. Let me check the notes here.
Reminds me of Shameless.
I don't think so. This actually is from, this is a cultivated list of songs from Pitchfork's 500. A list of 500 genre-defining songs of the last 30 years. So, I guess this being the genre of, certainly Iggy Pop is like a grandfather of punk.
Yeah.
But at this point in 77, when this comes out, we're seeing the rise still of bands like Sex Pistols, Buzzcocks, The Damned, stuff like that. And this doesn't really fit in with what is going on in actual punk at the time. This sounds more like what's going on in New York in bands like the Talking Heads.
Yes.
Or,
I'm liking more and more as I get older.
You know,
I have to get deeper into the catalog.
Yeah. We'll see the stars that shine so bright. Now this, though, in 77, and if I'm not... Well, I'll have to look this up, but I'm pretty sure this is the album that he worked on with David Bowie.
See, I hear a Lou Reed influence.
All three of them, yes. No, you're absolutely right. I think that kind of nails it. It sounds like Lou Reed produced by David Bowie, which also happened. So, I mean, I don't know if it was this or The Idiot or both.
It was off of Lust for Life.
Right. I think The Idiot was the one that... That's the one that's got nightclubbing on it. I think that was the one that he did with David Bowie. But all the three of them were collaborators.
I swear I just heard somebody use it later.
The song is loosely based on a poem written by Jim Morrison. Passenger was partly inspired by traveling with David Bowie on tour.
David Bowie produced this album.
Okay, thank you for...
According to the Wikipedia.
Got it.
Oh, that's David Bowie on piano and backing vocals on this. Along with Tony Sales on bass. And Hunt Sales on drums. One of those guys that he was in Tin Machine with? Super Sales Kids?
Not sure.
My brother Hunt Sales worked with Todd Rundgren, Iggy Pop, and Tin Machine with David Bowie. Yeah. Born in Cleveland, TV comedian Soupy Sales is their dad, and Barbara Fox is the mom. Tony grew up in Detroit, Michigan. Very near
Shout
where
out.
We're recording
Detroit.
This.
Shout out Detroit.
And a band that appeared on the Steve Allen Show. It seems like pretty square now, but it's a hip show for its time.
Iggy Pop put out 3 albums in 1977.
It was the quality of the cocaine. I mean, how, what, everybody in the 70s.
David Bowie, if you were also making produced movie, The Idiot.
Yeah, I was pretty sure. And China Girls, written by Iggy Pop. And if you've ever heard Iggy Pop's version of China Girl, it's pretty spectacular. I believe it was recorded after, but it,
the it's song, just as racist.
Yeah. I think it comes off as creepier, that's for sure. And it is kind of racist, yeah. But it's just...
See, the way Bowie's is produced, it might as well have... in it. I mean, the way it starts...
I thought it did. It was still that, yeah. But, you know, we need to do news, so maybe another day.
Time to talk about Wee.
How about Zach Randolph? Do you know who that dude is?
Yeah.
Who is this dude?
He plays for the Sacramento Kings, and apparently he also sells weed.
Oh, yeah?
Gordon, what happened this week?
Yeah, he got felony charge possession with intent to sell. Now, intent to sell is usually a bullshit charge. I mean, this guy, he plays professional football, yeah?
Basketball.
Oh, sorry. All right, so he does that. I'm sure he's got like hundreds of thousands, right?
I'd say so.
This guy's a millionaire.
Possibly millions.
Oh, no, he's a millionaire.
So he probably buys weed in bulk, right?
For sure.
You ain't got time to go hunt around. What are you going to do? Once a fortnight? No, he probably like...
2 weeks. A fortnight? Wow.
Probably, probably buys bigger than that. What did he have? Let's see. Randolph. 36, average 14.1 points. And, oh, these are like stats for his season.
Oh, nice.
He's 6'9".
What the stats for his bust?
$24 million deal. Yeah, he's buying in quantity. But do you think a guy with $24 million is buying in quantity with the intent to start selling and making profit off of that?
Why is he getting it himself? That's first question.
Man, I'm making like $25 off of each bag. Right. Like, no, he signed a $24 million deal.
Why isn't one of his boys going to pick up his weed for him?
I mean,
that's a good question.
Unless he's got it busted down to dime bags, I don't think you can get it with intent to sell. Even if he's got a scale, which is usually another one that they use. Oh, the guy's got a scale. Yeah, he's buying in fucking quantity. Right? He wants to weigh it out. That's right. How you... What state was this in that he's getting fucked in? Los Angeles County? Are you fucking serious? You guys are going to go legal next year?
That must mean he must have had a lot.
Yeah, like a ton.
And you're fucking with him? What? For what? Just the money?
Probably.
I don't see...
They're mad he didn't go to the Lakers.
Yeah. Cops like, hey, should have went to the Lakers.
I can't find a number on what he was caught with. $20,000 bail. Police recovered 2 guns, impounded 2 vehicles, and seized narcotics.
Jesus.
Oh, wait a minute. These narcotics. Now, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But he's charged with marijuana possession and intent to sell. So it's not even like this dude got pulled over with this shit. They, like, came for him.
Like they had a tip? Anonymous tip or something to come get him?
I guess.
So is this guy's pad just always got people coming in and out?
Yeah.
Or maybe he's guilty of being black and rich.
There you go. Probably.
But in California, it's okay to be black and rich. They'd like you to be black and rich in California. Especially in Los Angeles County.
Most people who smoke cannabis do it to relax. And there's a study going around saying that according to the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, there's up to a 30% higher risk, or 3 times more likely to die from a risk of dying from hypertension if you smoke cannabis.
Damn.
What? What's that again?
You're 3.4 times more likely to die from hypertension if you're a pot smoker. What? Was that a drop of some sort?
That was me. I accidentally touched the mic. And it,
oh, I thought that, I saw his finger go over, and then it went sounded like Yar's Revenge over here.
Yar's Revenge. Hypertension. No, why? What for? How? This? What's their reasoning?
Well, it's a pretty big leap, actually. I mean, first of all, they're not finding direct things like, oh, the, you know, smoking cannabis leaves this type of plaque on your lungs, and that can cause you to, I don't know, have poor breathing, which increases your blood pressure in some way. I don't know. I'm no doctor. I'm no scientist. But when you're looking for actual causation, those are the things you're hoping to eventually track down. This joint's broke.
This is broke.
I can't even figure out where. So the study defines user as anyone who's ever tried the drug. So
that's pretty broad, man.
How can you say that part of the causation for what you're finding is cannabis, something that was a variable in your study? Not a variable. That's the wrong term. But it wasn't a consistent. They weren't looking at, in order to try and tie it to cannabis, you would have to look at people who smoked it more than your average person, because you have statistics already for your average chance of being of dying from hypertension. We have that. So then you test this group of cannabis smokers, people who tried it in college or something. You know, how does that apply to, you know, dying years later from hypertension?
Well, die eventually.
So, like, if somebody who only eats bacon and gravy ever tried cannabis.
2005 researchers asked them whether they had ever used marijuana or hashish. People who answered yes were classified as marijuana users. Those who answered no were classified as non-users. They then merged that statistic with death of all causes, including other things like, well, first of all, it was also asked whether you were a cigarette smoker, right?
Oh, wow.
But a cigarette smoker didn't put you in a certain category. Now, if you were to pull the stats of those who answered affirmative to being a cannabis smoker and those who answered affirmative to being a cigarette smoker, how much overlap do you think you would find on that? A considerable amount, 90%, more? How many people do you know that are pot smokers that have never smoked cigarettes? Let me ask you that.
Not a lot. Yeah,
not a lot. Single digits, possibly?
Yeah.
Percentage-wise?
I'm an exception.
Like a unicorn. No, but you. When I first met you, you smoked.
Yeah.
We're saying you have at one time.
Okay. No, we're saying whoever.
How many
never...
pot smokers have never had a cigar? It's just like, no way, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there are those guys. They're not pumping those chemicals into me.
Right.
Possibly even having other somewhat risky behaviors. Maybe having a drink, indulging a little too much, possibly, on the weekends, and you're some binge drinking might be going on there. There's any number of things that would overlap. So it reveals your own bias in your own study when you pick out one element and try and prop that up as, hey, see, we told you, this stuff will kill you.
I know.
And they were defining in the story not just as a user of cannabis, but a regular user. Admitting that you have smoked cannabis makes you a regular user because, you know, you can get addicted from smoking it once.
Damn.
So according to this study, my dad who tried it once, like, 45 years ago, counts as a user?
Yes. Hell yeah. Heavy.
Don't you chill out.
I'll try it.
So heavy. DeMamp had to step in.
They said abrupt cessation of heavy cannabis use may cause clinically significant increases in blood pressure in a subset of users. Yes. Stoners who aren't smoking pot. Likely their blood pressure will go up for a little bit until they adjust. Same way it would work if you were, you all know. If you smoked cigarettes at one time, you went through a period of not smoking, of trying not to smoke them.
Correct.
And what are you? You're irritated. Your blood pressure certainly feels like it's up. I bet if you tested it, it would be.
I'm going to choke everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a pretty suspect study you got there.
So, yeah. So CBS like was one of the organizations that was flouting this as, oh, here, look, we told you it was bad. They're also publishing stories like, is cannabis too lucrative to be illegal?
Or to be legal. I saw that, yeah.
No, is cannabis too lucrative to be illegal?
Oh.
That's the headline.
I thought I saw to be legal is what I thought I saw. No shit.
Yeah. But there's... Now, yes. We talk about it as much as any, but the money isn't the main reason. The money's a side benefit, and it gets featured a lot because they want to think that you're arguing with people who can be convinced with money. But the amount of money that the average politician might be able to see from, if there is some sort of nationwide legal cannabis and there are then lobbyists for that or for them as a nationwide organization, like there is for anything. You know, there's lobbyists for milk, the local milk people. They're not going to like it. The local
milk people. I'm for the local milk people.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
Like that, how? sorry, that's another conversation.
Right. With this.
How out of touch are you?
So this argument that there's going to be so much money and you can't stop it because of that. Well, I mean, big picture, it's not like it's going to revolutionize anyone's economy. It's going to help out in some cases, and it's just.
I know. I think it might help Detroit immensely. It already has.
Yeah, it is.
I think definitely yes. You would see your quickest reaction to incoming tax dollars in more depressed areas, certainly. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't know how much there's a direct causation, but it certainly seems like there's a lot more going on inside the city since the legalization of gambling.
But Diego, you put dispensary in the casino?
Make a lot of money that way.
Well, it certainly can't hurt because I know Detroiters love cannabis, and I know even though there are medicinal programs you can get into, it's got to be higher than 90% of cannabis smokers in Detroit that aren't even bothering and just continuing out with the black market. And also, my own experience of acquiring cannabis in Detroit was usually from people who were one step removed from the grower, and they all had very low-key businesses. They sold to friends of friends. They had to know a guy. Right. And I've never had any problems. Like, never.
Hey, man.
You know, I've told you about...
You guys like Batman?
Being mugged in Detroit and having guns and knives pulled on me and shit like that. None of them were any of the guys that I was buying pot from. These were...
They're friends.
Fucking... Well...
Their associates. The neighborhood...
They're usually associates. Somebody on the block.
Yeah.
You know, that was just the guy that everybody got from because he was on the block and he knew the guy who grew it.
Here comes a bunch of white kids with some money.
Yeah.
Let's get them.
But money isn't the main reason. And I think we should, if we're going to talk about changing people's minds on cannabis, let's stop trying to, it's almost insulting to push that based on the idea that when you say that, oh yeah, but all the tax dollars is almost like saying, all you really care about is money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't have any actual morality on this. And for some, I believe that is true, that they don't actually have any morality on the issue. They just have the idea of other people having fun doing things that they might not, that's not the best thing for your life, but also isn't hurting you. I don't know what I'm getting at. So what does that mean? If we're not going to talk about the money, then we should. What do we talk about? The personal freedom, states' rights.
Yeah.
I think those are better ways to phrase this, because when you start your argument with the tax money, you're basically arguing tax dollars versus possible harm, and then you're easily painted as somebody who is just the greedy one. You know, you say Republicans are greedy, you liberals, you want to bring in money from tax dollars that's going to hurt our citizens. Well, yeah, same as the way that we tax everything else, like alcohol, tobacco, cars,
guns.
Everything,
yeah.
I think maybe we should start our own organization some kind of motto is like, keep your guns and give us weed.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care. You can have all the guns you want and...
We'll have all the weed.
If we put in a system that actually tracks everybody who wants to have an automatic weapon and make sure that they're trained with it, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Nutcases, you're never going to stop. They're going to find a way. They plow cars into people. They, you know, hack them apart with a butcher knife if they want to. You can't control all the methods for killing people and still enjoy freedom in this country. You just can't. And yet, one of the most innocuous ones, I'm not saying it's completely harmless. It's not 100% harmless, but when you compare it to any other statistic that you look at on, again, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, everything that the ATF should be actually doing their job on, then weed is by far the least offensive of any of these.
I still wonder why they grouped all those three things together.
I don't know.
Hey, this is the party division.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Get drunk while we smoke and fucking shoot at shit.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Hell, even Neil deGrasse Tyson said it should be legal this week.
Oh, I like him.
I mean, he had to have, like...
He's America's black friend.
Yeah, he is. He is. That's the best thing I heard all day. Thank you.
He had to have tried it at one point, I'm sure.
Yes.
Sure, still smokes it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Him and Morgan Freeman probably hang out and smoke together.
Well, we know Morgan
you
Freeman likes
to smoke.
You
can't spit half the far out shit he spits.
It's not far out shit, though. It's all fact based. He's not thinking, he's not mind experimenting. I mean, well,
some of the concepts he gets into.
I don't know.
Or maybe he's cranked up a bowl. Maybe.
Well,
imagine the bong he probably had.
Well, let's understand this is like
the crazy vacuum bong.
He understands and cultivates these ideas, and is made himself into this this guy who understands science but knows how to talk to regular people. The job that was left vacant since the loss of Carl Sagan. But, you know, he's not... I'm not shit-talking Neil, but he's not on the cutting edge of science. He's not making these discoveries. He's just telling you about them. This, as a collective, he's part of a scientific collective, just like Bill Nye is, that... You know, their parts just happen to be megaphones in that of translating it to the world. But he's not coming up with these crazy ideas. He's not sitting at home and smoking a doob and going, what if the universe existed in this way and wouldn't that be bizarre? And that's actually scientifically
possible.
Why are
you shit on my fantasy?
I love that.
No, maybe, but I'm not shitting on your fantasy. I'm saying it's not Neil deGrasse Tyson that's weird. It's the universe that's weird. That's the long and short of it. The more we find out about the universe, the weirder it gets because we become less and less familiar with the thing that we are studying. I mean, we're discovering all kinds of new particles now with particle colliders, but none of them are reacting in ways that we thought are reasonable. They certainly don't align with our current idea of physics. The whole reason why we have that, we have particle physics and we have everything else physics. And we don't have any combination of numbers or letters in any sequence that ties the two of them together. What was I talking about?
Neil deGrasse Tyson wants us all to get high.
How are you going to be one of the tourist capitals of the nation, legalize cannabis and be obstinate about having any place to actually enjoy it?
Vegas?
You can buy this legally, but you can't do it anywhere unless you live here and have some private property.
Where?
Yeah, you know what you called it, Vegas, yes.
In Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Wow.
So you can't walk on the strip and burn one up?
It seems like, well...
Or is it Nevada? Las Vegas is a city in Nevada.
Public consumption... Nevada's legalization initiative makes it a misdemeanor, punishable by a $600 fine.
Damn.
To consume marijuana in a store that sells it or any public place, defined as an area to which the public is invited or in which the public is permitted regardless of age. Yeah, but Vegas is creative, right? So what if you own two businesses, and this would be a reciprocal business thing? Your two businesses, your biznai, would work in tandem, because you would meet somebody when they purchased cannabis legally from your shop, and you would then give them a personal invite, a little business card, that allowed them access to their private club that they have nearby. Now, since you're a tourist, we'll waive the normal fees to be a member of this private club. It's just a $20 door cover for the two of you.
Reasonable.
Yeah. And we serve drinks over there and what have you. And you can take your own personal stash of cannabis. Maybe they'll even have somebody on hand that knows how to roll joints if you're too fucked up to do it. And
we don't know that person.
Who? I mean, that totally makes sense to me. It's kind of ridiculous that they would have to be, or it doesn't even have to be one owner owning both businesses. Just have a relationship. You know, the person's going to make a $10 a head door, and all they have to do is have one bartender that serves drinks. Serves some non-alcoholic beverages. Or, get some juice bars and shit like that. Chops. Sell the fuck out of some candy. But have it be private. I mean, can't you do that? They do that in New York, right? They have private clubs.
Yeah.
Say, hey, man, you can't have a public place where you invite the public and then you're all butt-fucking in threes and having orgies and shit.
Yeah, like that.
Daisy chains and whatnot. And they're like, yeah, okay, well, this is a private club then. People pay their dues.
We all meet. Butt-fucking in the corner.
We all fuck each other's butts. Do whatever the fuck else we want.
I like that idea.
So yeah, I mean, have a private club. Robert's invite
pro butt fucking in corners.
Invite only.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, why don't you come over and smoke this weed?
I mean, isn't that part of what Vegas is all about?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be a great Vegas experience for a pot smoker? And even like for tourists, you could be all sly about it. It's your first time here. Let me tell you about the Owl Club, you know?
They butt fucked the corner.
He's like, don't tell them that I gave you this, but don't spread it around. Not everybody can get into this place, you know? Here's my card. Tell them Leonard sent you.
Leonard.
The fuck, it's Leonard.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll get into your own. You're from out of town. You don't know who Leonard is. Yeah. You just met him.
Hi.
Could be anyone. It doesn't matter. It's not going to be strictly enforced. It's going to be a place that charges $10 a head to come in and smoke your own. And even semi-legally, this exists in
Leonard
Detroit.
Leonard Trustworthy?
In Detroit, there are restaurants. Like, there was a Spanish restaurant where I had rabbit stew one time.
Damn.
And they would serve it family style. So everybody showed up at the set period of time. And if you wanted to drink it with your dinner, then...
it's like bottle service?
It would bring your own. And they would provide you with glasses. And they would charge you like a $5 corking fee.
I got your corking fee.
I don't know
right
how
here.
Many of those type of businesses exist in Detroit. I believe it is what I would say semi-legal. Meaning basically that if the police got involved, the establishment owners could say that they had nothing to do with the people bringing in the liquor and the wine and whatnot. And that the customers were probably not likely to be harassed, especially if you're a tourist.
Hey, man. Yeah. You come in and burn these trees.
Yeah, I think maybe if they don't actually want to put it into the law,
then we can butt fuck in the
I would corner. Imagine that it would not be a priority to find your pot smokers in the city, especially if you're fucking with tourists. I mean, $600 a head might sound good if you're looking to bump somebody's head when you're putting them in the back of the police car, but they're gonna spend a lot more than $600 while they're there. You know,
right?
Think of that. You keep them in there.
Takes a lot.
12 hours. Like most tourists can spend more than $600 in that amount of time. They would have been more profitable to your economy not being in a cell or being fucked with by the police.
Right.
So I can imagine if they don't put it into the law, they'll probably find some semi-legal way to accommodate tourists, because they have to, or else what the fuck are they doing here? They're not going to make millions of tax dollars off the local cannabis smokers, because all of those are probably still connected to the black market enough to get shit cheaper than what the dispensaries are selling. The fucking dispensaries, the head shops, or whatever you want to call them, those are for the tourists.
Right.
That's right, because we don't want to come in from out of town and have to try and meet.
Terry.
Yeah, get some sketchy cab driver to drop you off someplace. Have somebody take your money and then say, meet you around the corner. And you're like, I'll never see that $40 again.
Right. That Vegas, Lyft, Uber. Cabs rip you off in Vegas. Lyft and Uber are far cheaper.
And it's kind of an image thing. You know, I mean, this is the new Vegas. This isn't your daddy's Vegas where you
have a hockey team and a football team.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah, remember getting the Raiders in 3 years.
That's right.
The old Vegas where you'd say, stand me up two steaks. One cooked for me, rare. The other one, raw for my wife's face because I just backhanded her.
Damn.
Yeah. And another raw one for the vagina of the poor hooker. That's going to come up when after I'm done with her.
Jesus.
Hey, this is put a steak on it.
This is family friendly.
Yeah, come on, man.
Vegas.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's old Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't put a steak on a vagina in the new family friendly Vegas.
Hey, to each his own, bro. Whatever.
So actually having places where people are just getting stoned out of their mind. Yeah. I mean, so what?
They got a Ferris wheel in Vegas now. Yeah. At the Link.
Right. We have Lyft. We have Uber. We have many ways. There's all these internet jitney services.
Dude, we're working on a partnership with Lyft. So we can at least give out a code, like a Weedsman code, and people can get a Lyft.
There we go.
I'm working out with Christopher Media. So we can do it with the Beer Nuts as well.
Oh, okay.
But it is on the big screen, double spaced. It's separated this time around. Hey. Where's my snare? No, wait. It's right there. Oh. Breakbeat. Oh, we didn't talk about the little Google thing.
What was the Google thing?
Google's tribute to the 44th anniversary of hip-hop.
Why 44? Hip-hop's 2 years older than I am.
Yeah. We should probably get into the next show. I have bookmarked on something. Hey, valued listener.
Both.
Yeah, both you guys. Thank you for downloading.
No, it's way more than both. It's like people they must be telling other people about it.
Yeah, but that's good. You're downloading these podcasts for free from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or you just come to the source, cut out the middleman.
There you go.
Come to ChristopherMedia.net. And wherever you listen to the Weezman Podcast, please make sure to rate and review the Weezman Podcast 5 stars. Please, thank you. Please follow the Weezman Podcast on Twitter at TheWeezman420 and on Instagram,
The Weezman Podcast.
Please make sure to like and share the Weezman Podcast on Facebook. And you can send your emails to The Weezman Podcast at ChristopherMedia.net. Speaking of ChristopherMedia.net, go there to listen to all of the other shows available from the Christopher Media Network. New podcast is uploaded almost every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost every day. It's a lot of free entertainment for you. All right? Check out Sporgy. I haven't plugged Sporgy in a while.
There you go.
The sports.
Football season's
Football's
coming up.
Oh.
I'm like, get your fantasy ready.
I'm like a half hard pretty much since August 1st.
Damn.
24/7. Yes. Sporgy, there is a new episode available every Thursday at ChristopherMedia.net. You can also listen to our three newest podcasts live on our streaming station 24/7.
Check it out.
We've been meeting all the time at ChristopherMedia.net. Please bookmark the Amazon link available at ChristopherMedia.net. It won't cost you any extra money, and you will help support the Weezman Podcast. And please click the donate button at ChristopherMedia.net. It will help you podcast. Oh, here you go, big guy.
We got a revised edition.
The brand new read from their website. I just, you know, changed some pronouns. You know.
All
All moves right. a couple things around. So.
All right.
Bro!
TheBroBasket.com. We've talked about this before.
Yes.
When you see the word or the term bro, you probably think of party-loving, egotistical frat boys always bro! Insisting on high-fiving for some reason. But they hate the typical nomenclature for bro, and they wanted to redefine it. They're taking the team bro back because, to them, a bro is much more than that.
Term bro, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. A bro is that friend you've known since you were 5 years old. Your bro from softball, your dad, your brother, your best friend, or maybe even your lover.
Oh.
Hey, so man. Smooth.
It's 21st century.
This is a proactive stance they're taking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their bro baskets were created to be the best gift for men. Ones that the bros in your life who love to receive the occasional long-distance hug from a bro basket can provide. Hey, men love their unique gifts, their favorite alcohol in them, and they love making the best gifts for men around the world just as much as guys love receiving them. You can help support the Weezman Podcast by clicking the BroBasket.com banner at ChristopherMedia.net, TheBroBasket.com. For those bros in your life.
Bro! Yeah.
I'm going to have to read that a lot more because I was struggling.
It's all right. Bro.
Bro.
Bro. Say hi, bro.
Say hi.
Hi, bro.
I was singing that. Stay high.
Stay high.
You stay high.
I like just those two.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net and thank you for listening. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.